Is it possible to have a teacher shortage and have qualified teachers that can't find work? Seems like we're parking on the driveway and driving on the parkway. If we want change, we need to go to the top, and we will. Let's bust some pencils.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker. Here's what's trending in education news.
From the Huffington Post, nation's top teachers confront Betsy DeVos in a private meeting. At a round table with the nation's top educators on Monday afternoon, at least one teacher told Education Secretary Betsy DeVos that her favored policies are having a negative effect on public schools. DeVos met privately with more than 50 teachers who had been named 2018 Teachers of the Year in their states. As part of the discussion, teachers were asked to describe some of the obstacles they face at their jobs, and they were given the opportunity to ask the Education Secretary questions.
Gee, I wonder what kind of questions they asked her.
I wonder what kind of answers were given.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the title confront, right away in the title, confront Betsy DeVos. So,
they're waiting for it.
Well, so we've got 50 teachers of the year coming out of the public school system in America.
Right.
They've got a face-to-face with Betsy.
And that's who knew they'd be able to ever do that?
That's cool,
that's pretty
right?
Cool, yeah.
Getting that, there's some access,
mm-hmm.
Okay? My thing on this, though, and I'll come at this, is to act disappointed by her answers to the questions that they posed, of which some we'll talk about. Did you not know who you were talking to? For me.
Right.
This is Betsy DeVos, who barely got put into this position, who has been dragged over the coals, who we know, and then maybe slightly in defense of Betsy DeVos, he is not a public school supporter, has
right.
never been one, has pumped billions of our own money into private schools and choice and mechanisms like that. So know your audience.
Right. So that's about it.
50 teachers of the year. Come on. One of you had to go, I'm pretty sure she's not going to answer our questions the way we want her to.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, they did ask some great questions about charters and choice, and in mm-hmm. fact pointed out, as one of the teachers said, that actually the effects of taking money from public schools and putting them in private schools is actually harmful to children.
It is. And you think that would be a, well, duh.
Yeah, well, duh. But her...
I don't get it.
Her response is, well, you know what? Parents and families want to make a choice about where to send their kids. And when I read that, I sit there and go, they do. They choose where to live. They choose all
they
this. This idea, they can choose a private school.
Right.
A publicly funded choice is your public school. And that, you know, is where we get all twisted up in this mechanism. But, you know, the other part where she was not very good, which would be no question for public education for me, so not surprising, though, is when they kind of talk about the strikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the strikes that are going on. And her response was, well, you know, we wish these adults would learn to be adults and handle their problems not at the expense
of the children.
Yes. All of a sudden, she's a child advocate now.
Right.
Okay. And again, as we go back to that crazy governor you and I talked about a few weeks ago, that these darn striking teachers are, God forbid, eating Tide. The kids
they're
are eating Tide Pods and stuff like that.
And
here's Betsy again saying, you know, these children are being left alone by these teachers. And she didn't take the chance to hear them saying the teachers are asking for the conditions that make the classroom better for kids. Hey, come on, Betsy, wake up.
From TheEconomist.com, the wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, in the age of Trump, calls for civility are calls for servility.
Trump's also an idea guy. He's got loads of ideas. You gotta love him for that. He wants to give teachers guns, and I support that, because then they can sell them for things they need, like supplies.
And there was Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner making fun of President Trump for suggesting teachers should have guns. I like her idea, though.
I think it could be a pretty good way to get some extra money in the schools. A lot better than selling the gift wrap.
Gift wrap or cupcakes and stuff like it, right? The bake sales. I mean, we've seen gun raffles. They bring in some big money.
They do. They do.
Look, a lot of people are offended right now by this, what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Both sides are offended.
Yeah, and so the left... The, quote, left-wing media has said, yes, vile and vulgar. The right-wing media, vile and vulgar. No place at a White House Correspondents' Dinner. However, from an American education system that the left and right, let's also say what we're talking about, White House correspondents, these are journalists.
Right.
Okay?
Yes, they are.
Whose job, at least when I took civics... And I learned about the American system and the free press.
Mm-hmm.
The job of journalists are to ask hard questions of our politicians. That's their job.
Right.
Okay. Since they've stopped doing that, and now that comedians have stepped up to do it, are we surprised? And I'm sorry, whether you're on the left or the right, you're yelling at a comedian for making maybe tasteless jokes about the president or about the president's first lady or about the White House spokesperson or you name it. What's going on about your job that you're not doing?
What are they scared of that they might get in trouble for or something? That's the problem, is that they're just sitting back going, I'm not going to ask that because,
In fact, I've seen other commentaries, The Economist one, but lots of them have put this out there saying that actually this is the problem when you have White House correspondents that are afraid to ask hard questions because, well, I might not be invited to this really cool dinner again. And you understand, like, I'm in the know and I'm one of the people.
Cool kid.
I'm a cool person. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give up my spot at the dinner if I ask hard questions. That also, though, is a problem, that if people who ask hard questions aren't invited to the White House Correspondents'
Dinner. Yeah, it kind of goes both ways.
Right. I get it. But to blame a comedian for poking fun at the president, the administration, the dinner itself. Really? Did you not know who you invited? She's a comedian.
Right.
Okay.
That's her job.
That's her job. Now, if you don't like her references to yarn and women's body parts, you should have looked at her vita before you invited her. But at least there was one journalist in the room that night.
From TMJ4.com, Delavan Darien schools to cut 20% of teachers after failed referendum. More than 20% of teachers in Walworth County School District will soon be out of jobs, and an elementary school is set to close after residents in the Delavan Darien District voted against a $3.5 million referendum. Darien Elementary School teacher Carly Kramer Britt had no idea the failed referendum meant she and around 40 other teachers would lose their jobs.
Well,
What PR nightmare happened before this and after this? This is crazy.
Well, yeah, nobody knew the ramifications of a failed referendum.
Because, my dad was a school board on the school board forever.
Right.
And if they wanted a referendum, they would be out there saying, we need this because of this. We want to buy this. We want this. We want this. Wouldn't you say, we need this because we want to keep our teachers?
Well, so, right. What were the ramifications then, you're asking, of not passing this? And did they not know them so that they could have went out there and said, look, if you don't pass this referendum, we're going to close the school and we're going to lose 40 teachers.
Right.
However, get into the article here. It gets a little bit tricky.
Yeah, it does.
To figure out what the hell's going on in this Delavan Darien, because as the one resident put it, had I known that teachers were going to lose jobs and we were going to close the school,
I would have
changed my vote from a no to a yes.
But it sounded like they only wanted a lot of money for improvements. To ball fields.
So if that was, so you kind of go,
so it's
look.
Like, well, my kid doesn't play ball. The field looks fine, so no.
So part of me wants, part of me wants to go, dude, how did you not know this? The other part of me says, to your point.
How'd you not get that message out?
Why did you not get this? And if you only were told that this referendum was to fund a ball field, that would strike some people as saying, well, I don't know there's a real benefit there.
Right.
You know, and that's not to debate the benefits of ball fields because
they're important.
But if you're selling the referendum the way you just said it, as your father, as a school board member, what happened in this sales that went wrong that people voted no? And in fact, no voters are going, holy crap. I didn't know this.
Right.
That's the scary part. So teachers have lost their job. Now, what's pretty cool, though, is a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to one of those teachers.
That's awesome.
Who lost their job. And maybe we'll get a little deeper into this. But for now, there is a chance, though, that they may, according to the story, that this referendum could be looked at possibly again. What I want to know is, what's the marketing for the referendum going to look like this time?
Time for Tim to rant. This is Someone Has to Say It.
Old news alert. Reading achievement gap just won't go away. Hey, but here's something to think about. In one state, Wisconsin, one journalist is really upset. However, his suggestion that Governor Scott Walker and State Superintendent Tony Evers should work together to solve the achievement gap, that's just laughable. According to this journalist, Evers and Walker are, quote, people with thoughts on this that are worth hearing. No, absolutely not. Naming two politicians as worth hearing on the teaching and learning of reading is the problem. Politicians have dominated the education reform landscape for 30 years. They are incapable of helping, and yet we keep going back to them. They have no interest in closing the gap. The gap keeps them relevant and is an election necessity. How about we actually look at the research and work with teachers and faculty that actually know what they're talking about? Oh, and this is really not that hard to fix. Stephen Krashen, national researcher, has pointed out time and time again that a small investment in healthcare, nutrition, and access to books in high poverty areas would do more to close the achievement gap than any politician's go-to reform, test, and punish accountability. Yes, the achievement gap sucks, but what sucks more is the delusion that politicians are the go-to people on this issue. They make their careers on the gap. Maintaining it is fundamental to their reelection. No, politicians are not worth hearing from or listening to concerning any issue that deals with teaching and learning. Jeez.
From Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, teaching all children.
She is a 22-year veteran teacher, 2018 Herb Cole Teacher Fellow, a Milwaukee Public Schools parent, and accomplished advocate for all education professions. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Education Association Council for Region 7, and together they are on Busted Pencils to talk about Educators Amplified Gubernatorial Edition. Welcome, Joanna Rosato and Ted Craig.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Okay, Joanna, let's start with you because this is actually a welcome back to Busted Pencils for you.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
So we had you on for the first Educators Amplified, and now here we are four in, and we are doing the gubernatorial edition. So what excites you about what's coming up this Saturday?
Well, what excites me about what's coming up is that we're bringing together even more groups. So when we first started out, we had just kind of a focus on local teachers associations in the Milwaukee area, and now we're spreading out where we have invited partners from the technical colleges and from MTEA. So we have a broader base that we're building and bringing together.
And Ted, WEAC7 has been a big sponsor of this. What are you looking forward to on Saturday's event?
Yeah, well, this one's going to be a little different because I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to have an ex-governor of the state of Wisconsin in the room. We have 9 of the 10 major Democratic Party candidates, and if anybody's watching this election cycle, they'll know that Scott Walker has a pretty good chance of being beaten by one of these people. And this is a chance to bring what we've been doing with Educators Amplified into the governor's race. I think a lot of the discussion of education in political campaigns is pretty thin. It's pretty much about, you know, did Walker cut school funding or didn't he? Maybe a little bit more than that. And this is a chance to bring the kind of broader issues and really significant issues that are discussed on your show, Tim, and have been discussed in Educators Amplified, into the governor's race to see where these people stand.
Okay, first criticism I've heard already is that, well, you guys are teachers and you're pro public education. This is not going to be anything but a softball fest for these candidates. Joanna?
Well, no. I mean, we've got real issues to talk about, and quite frankly, we've been wanting to do this for some time. So softball to me is people are kind of positioned with funding, and if you're familiar with Educators Amplified, or if you want to come be familiar with Educators Amplified, it's similar to your show where we just have deeper issues to talk about what is really happening in the classroom, what is really happening to the profession of teaching, how are communities being involved with being able to support their public schools. And I don't think those are hard hitters. I don't think those are softballs.
Well, let you take a stab at this, because I think, you know, in this criticism is this, you know, kind of like essential kumbaya moment between Democrats and people, teachers and stuff like that. And so nothing really tough is going to be answered at this kind of love fest.
Yeah, I mean, look, the truth is, and you talk about a lot on your show, not Democrats are great on education. Sure, they tend to not support slashing the schools the way that Scott Walker has done, but many of these Democrats are pretty bad on issues like accountability, you know, the test and punish regime, are not great on the privatization of the schools that's going on. Many are supporters of private charter schools that take money away from the public schools to really cheapen privatized schools. So a lot of what we discuss at Educators Amplified, I think, is going to be challenging for some of these candidates.
Well, and our hope is to help to educate them.
Well, so, Joanna, we take this. Okay, so it's one part ask the candidate question, but the other mm-hmm. part is throw a question to the candidate they might not have any sense about, and so we're going to educate them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the hope, is that these are the people that we are, you know, like Ted said, one of these people is hopefully going to be our next governor. And we want to be a part of establishing that we're the group to work with, that we're the group who has some real ideas about how to make things better for teachers and for students. And so, right, we want to engage with them. We've got great people. That room is going to be so filled with knowledge, like the real knowledge about public education. And right, we want to engage and help to build a meaningful platform for public schools, not just.
Yeah, and I would just want to add that, you know, it's not like if we still had Jim Doyle as governor, everything would be just wonderful with our schools. It's one thing to be against what Walker's doing, which is horrific, but it's another thing to actually have an inspiring agenda to have the greatest possible public schools we can have. And the truth is, just going back to the old status quo isn't good enough. And mm-hmm. in terms of the process of pushing these candidates and educating these candidates, we'll be demanding more, that we want them to deal with big issues like, why are teachers leaving the profession in droves, not just in Wisconsin? Why is there such a movement to privatize schools, and why are Democrats okay with that? And on and on. And even more broadly for me, what are you willing to do about the context of all of this, which is growing levels of poverty, especially among kids, racial segregation, a lot of inequality in our schools, because status quo isn't good enough, and this is an opportunity to push these candidates to strive for more and campaign for more.
Well, you are listening to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on 1510 AM Resistance Radio. We are with Joanna Rosato, Ted Craig, and we are talking about Educators Amplified Gubernatorial Edition. Before we go any further, I think at this point now we need to say where and when. So, Joanna, where is this event and when?
Oh, well, we're going to be holding Educators Amplified Gubernatorial Edition on Saturday, May 12th. At the Miramar Theater, which is on the east side of Milwaukee, Oakland Avenue. And doors will open at 11:30.
Do I have to pay to get in?
No, this is a free event. Come on over. And we always say, if you can't turn up, at least tune in.
Okay.
1510.
Right, 1510 a.m. It'll be broadcast live. And then, of course, on Busted Pencils, you can check it out. But, all right, so let's get back then. Ted, you started digging into this, you know, some of these issues that, quote, you know, status quo just isn't going to cut it. So Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. So I take a look at the list here, you know, professional standards and licensing. Joanna, how about you? Actually, because you serve on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's Professional Standards Board, give me a sneak possible preview, because we know all of these potential candidates are listening and trying to get any type of leg up they can. So, you know, professional standards, what are you talking about there?
Well, what we're talking about is what we're seeing in Wisconsin and nationwide is the dramatic loss of educators. And that the solution to that is not to reduce standards. But that does seem to be the trend here and everywhere else, that we're just, I guess, trying to get bodies in the classroom and abandoning a bit or a lot that teaching is a profession, that we want professionals in the classroom who understand cognitive development, cognitive psychology, pedagogy, you know, that we're not just content delivery specialists. And the way to get people into our classrooms is, again, not to reduce standards and open up licensure. We should be improving working conditions and making the job attractive.
Well, hopefully somebody was out there listening. Ted, what about privatization? You made a comment about that quickly. I mean, what's your concern there?
Well, there's a number of concerns. The most fundamental that there's, I think, a lot of agreement on among people who support public schools is that the money has to come from somewhere to fund voucher schools and private charter schools, and it comes from our public schools. And the money is starting to get very large in the state, and in many places in the country that's happening, where the public schools are essentially being defunded in order to fund these private entities. Problem with that is manyfold, and not just does it harm our public schools, but the private schools are really low road models in many ways. They don't teach all the kids, and they're notorious for being able to select the kids that they take and actually get rid of the kids they don't want to teach because maybe they have special needs or behavior issues and are harder to teach. And those kids are left in the public schools, which are then defunded. But also, in our mind, it's a low road labor model. The teachers, the actual people working with your kids in these privatized schools, are paid substantially less, turnover at much higher rates, and that goes up against everything we know about having great teachers. Experience matters. Credentials matter. You want highly professional teachers. People in both parties do a lot of hand-wringing about how we want the best possible people to be teachers. We want people who are in the top 10% of their graduating classes. Well, a low-road labor model where you pay people nothing and turn them over at high rates is not the way to get the best professional educators, and it's bad for schools.
We are speaking with Joanna Rosato, Ted Craig, sponsors for Educators Amplified Gubernatorial Edition. We went through some of the issues, but let's go back. So it's May 12th. It's in Milwaukee, and we've got 3 hours, 12 to 3, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, and we've got a candidate panel. Candidate panel from 12 to 1. Who do we have, Joanna?
We have Mike Crudy, Tony Evers, and Kel DeRoyes.
Okay, and any one of these candidates have any issue with sitting next to each other on the platform? Do we have to put a wall between them and separate them or things?
Oh, I don't honestly have no idea. Ted, do you have a better idea?
I do not. I've heard rumors about some friction among candidates, but not these particular candidates.
Okay, so we've got Mike Crudy, who's the newly entered, Tony Evers, the current state superintendent, and who was the last one?
Kelda Royce.
Okay, and I'm hearing interesting talk about her possibly being an underrated powerhouse.
Yeah, Roy's people are saying will have a lot of support from groups like Emily's List, Planned Parenthood, groups that support strong women candidates, and that she's pretty formidable, that she's very smart and sounding quite progressive.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so panel two, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we have three more. Ted, who's coming? Who's going to be at that hour?
Oh, I don't have the list with me. I know it's Malin Mitchell and Mike McCabe. And Joanna, do you have the list handy?
Watts.
Oh, and Dana Watts. Okay.
Okay. And so there, actually, Mike McCabe has been on this show already, people can check that out. Malin Mitchell, we do have him scheduled to come on. We just can't seem to make our things right. Dana Walks, there's been an open invitation, but that should be for a real interesting group of three there. If anybody's been following those three Democrats, there's could be, in one sense, quite a difference between the three answers we might get from those three candidates. And then hour three, from 2 to 3, go ahead, Joanna, give us those.
It's Flynn, Gronick, and Soglin.
Okay, Flynn, Gronick, and Soglin. So, wow. So,
right.
Crute, Evers, Royce, McCabe, Mitchell, Walks, Flynn, Gronick, Soglin. 9 gubernatorial candidates for Democrats are going to be there taking nothing but public education questions. This is unprecedented. Now, is the format, do they get 1 minute, 2 minutes to answer? I mean, how's this going to work? How are they going to run? And, you know, what type of rules do we have in
place?
Well,
it's not a formal debate. So it's conversational. So I don't think we don't have anything planned in terms of like specific time. I mean, you will be moderating, and so you know we're going to keep the conversation moving. But there really are kind of no rules. They have the hour. They're going to be engaging with some of the professionals in the room where we do have some specific questions or areas of interest. I wouldn't even say specific questions. We want to present areas of interest and really hear from the candidates. And I feel like I do truly represent like average teacher in this situation. Ted is more versed on where these candidates stand and what they know. I'm coming into it myself being like, what do you got? I haven't heard much.
Ted, what about that position there that, you know what, of all these Democratic candidates, and I've made this comment on Busted Pencils, you know, right now I'm not sold on anybody because other than, quote, you know, I'm for fair funding as opposed to unfair funding, I'm not hearing a lot of any, you know, type of like, whoa, let me pay more attention to you.
Yeah, there have been some comments from some of the candidates that have gone way beyond the standard, you know, we don't like Scott Walker and we want more funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be interesting. So, for example, Mike McCabe said on 1510 AM that he would veto any funding for vouchers and make the legislature try to override his veto. That's like a really concrete plan to bring this to a head and draw attention to how much voucher schools are bleeding our public schools. So there's some interesting stuff out there among these candidates. I think people will really enjoy hearing what they have to say.
So if I come to this event, is the possibility that I can participate? Am I watching? How does a person who wants to be there, what can they expect? Joanna?
Well, It's an interactive show is how we talk about it. And this show is as much for the audience as it is for the panelists in terms of it's a chance to come and engage with other public school professionals, supporters, advocates. It's a good time. You can picture that people kind of will be like hanging out, free-flowing. We're going to have a taco truck. And right, if you are so moved, you will have an opportunity at points to be able to engage directly with the candidates. We're hoping that they're going to hang out too, and be able to, you know, meet people and really connect with people.
Ted, any other thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know that there's a standard that once was applied favorably to George W. Bush that here's a guy I'd like to have a beer with. there will be alcohol, okay. And hopefully candidates will share a beer with people.
Well, it is. I was going to say it's a Wisconsin event, and I was wondering if one of you was going to pitch the fact that there's beer there. And so of all nine candidates, I wonder if any one of them will emerge as the candidate we liked having a beer with.
Yep.
As we come through this. And there's other partners involved in this. And you know, who else is responsible for bringing us this wonderful event?
Well, we at Region 7 is working in partnership with MTEA, Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, Schools and Communities United, 1510 AM, AFT 212, and am I forgetting anyone, Ted?
Citizen Action of Wisconsin.
And Citizen Action of Wisconsin.
That's a nice group. I mean, so we've got people there. What about, you know, so, yeah, we'll lay out the format. So right at this point, I will be somewhat of a moderating host. Joanna, you'll be there. But, you know, we take these areas, you know, professional standards and licensing, testing and standardization, vouchers and charters, teacher demoralization. I see that we've got standards, Tanya listed. Tanya was actually a teacher who was on a panel at the last Educators Amplified, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so there's a great person. Let's throw this one in there too, just because we really got wrapped up in typically the things we do, but we're going to have a little feature on tech colleges. And Ted, maybe you want to hit that.
Yeah, I think there's a growing recognition in our country that K-12 education is important, but it's not enough. That really, to live a full life and have economic opportunity, you need post-secondary education. And that really, we should be giving everybody full access to at least K-14, if not K-16. And so one of the things we'll be talking with people about is, you know, Wisconsin has a great technical college system. I mean, it's really famous nationally. It's just one of the best systems there is. And recent reports have shown that really it'd be incredibly affordable just to make our two-year institutions free for all students. And it would be a bold and probably very aspirational move that would get a lot of people excited. So we're going to be asking about that. Are these candidates willing to actually put the resources behind making college education truly affordable and accessible for everybody, especially in the tech colleges and two-year institutions?
Cool. So that's a nice new addition to the standard, you know, when we're talking about standards, poverty, teacher exodus, and this, you know, to expand into the tech college world and talk about, you know, where do you stand? Where do you stand on that funding? And of course, my goodness, test and punish accountability is going to be high up there, because I want to know, and I've got to know, that all these people right now currently in the midst of taking either the Forward exam, the ACT Aspire, even some other new tests that we'll actually be talking about on this show. I didn't even know they're actually not new tests, but there's some other kind of ACT test out there that deals with placing you in some type of if you guys know what I'm talking about out there.
Just like the work keys.
Yeah, the work keys. So that's going to be coming up on a Busted Pencil show where I talk to some people to bring us. But, you know, all this testing, it's happening. There's opting out. And, you know, I think one of my questions is going to be, and here, I'll give this right now for all nine of you candidates. We know you're out there listening. Where do you stand on test and punish? And as a parent, when I opt my child out of testing, missing? Is that a positive or a negative for the schools? And will you support me or not? There's a free question. And hey, Ted, Joanna, I can't wait for Educators Amplified May 12th. And again, location, Joanna?
Miramar Theater, east side of Milwaukee. And they just keep getting better and better.
Ted, any other last words?
No, just it's a good time. This is not a chore to come out. It'll be fun. Everybody should do it.
Excellent. Well, Joanna, Ted, Educators Amplified, looking forward to it. And, of course, you know what we're going to do. We will be busting pencils. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
From Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. Teaching all children.
She has over 16 years teaching experience and a master's degree. She has had a positive impact on the lives of so many students. However, she just was not renewed by her district. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Teacher Pam.
Thank you.
So, 15 years, 16 years actually, master's degree. I've actually looked at your letter of recommendation from your principal. Holy crap, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just looking at the data that's in front of me, and I know right now in the teacher world, everything's data-driven, so I'm going to make the assessment according to the data, your 16 years, your master's degree, and your letter of recommendation from your principal. The data is pointing that you're an awesome teacher.
Thank you. Okay. One of many.
One of many. But yes. The twist in this, though, is, wait a minute, you've non-renewed. That's a nice way of saying other things, but we'll keep it as a non-renewed. You were not renewed to teach next year. Why?
The school board has they have non-renewed 39 teachers from my district due to budget concerns.
Okay. So we can't pay you is what they said.
They cannot pay me.
We just can't pay you enough, you teacher. You need to move on. No, so, there is an issue here, and we're going to get deeper into this at another time here specifically about the budget, about how we fund teachers and things. But I find your story really problematic from a point of view that Busted Pencils has been really hitting on, particularly in Wisconsin, but across the country, in that we continue to hear that we are facing the nation's and the state's worst teaching shortage ever. And I've been really hard pressing on that, saying, I don't believe we have a shortage. I believe we have a problem keeping teachers in classrooms. I believe that teachers are not going into teaching anymore. But this idea, when I saw your quote where you wanted to remain anonymous, and so right now you are Pam Clark, but you said, I've got this experience, I've got a master's degree, no one will hire me. And I was like, but you're willing to go and teach somewhere else. Then, and that's true, right? You're willing.
That is true. I'm willing to relocate. I can't relocate too far away because I have family here.
But
I'm willing to go to a different district.
But you have degree, and you have a sign on your, the placard or the sandwich board that says "Will work."
Will work. Totally will work.
Well, all right. And I have a problem then with somebody saying that we have a teacher shortage whenever we have just one. But now we're looking at, from your school district, over 30 licensed teachers that are now going to be available on the market to say we have a teacher shortage.
Agreed that there is no teacher shortage.
Because if there were a teacher shortage, and so I'm going to ask you this question, how many shortage school districts, Pam, have called you to recruit you now that you're on the market?
I've not received one phone call.
Wait a minute. That makes no sense to me again, because here, in fact, if you're out there, school districts listening to Busted Pencils, which we know you are,
right.
Here is Teacher Pam, master's degree, teaching experience, 16 years, and awesome letters of recommendation. Shortage schools, why are you not calling her? That was just a public plea out there for you, Teacher
Pam. Oh, thanks.
Pam.
I appreciate that very much.
Just letting them know that you're out there and you're willing. But so, I mean, how is it? I mean, have you heard the teacher shortage language?
I have. Yep. I hear where they're offering the emergency licensure and fast track to teacher license. Sure.
Okay. And so what about, I just wonder about that, you know, how are we going to, so what are you going to do?
I hate that question.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I am going to keep applying and see if I can get hired somewhere is my first goal.
Well, maybe if you hide your teaching license and your year's experience, you'll get hired.
I was contemplating doing that.
All right, see.
Taking my master's degree off and just, I don't know, lowering my years or something.
So in other words, downplaying your awesomeness.
Downplaying my awesomeness. That's well put.
Yeah. So, again, problem, right? Because now you're out there actually saying, I'm going to intentionally tone down the experiences I have, the qualifications I have, just so a school district will look at me.
Right. Because I doubt that they would, even once they read my resume, they would not go any farther at this point, I'm guessing.
All right. Now, maybe a little bit of honesty, and we could say to a school district now that might, quote, have a shortage and need teachers, and they would say, well, Tim, we actually want to hire Teacher Pam. The problem is the budget that we have to pay Teacher Pam won't allow us to pay Teacher Pam. So are you okay with somebody telling you that?
Could I ask them to make me an offer? I don't know.
Well, I mean, because I think some people would say, look, this is the reality is that certain schools, and in fact, I kind of get this because I want to move this in this direction of saying, I understand school districts are restricted by the budgets they have and how much they can pay people.
Right.
That is not a shortage, though. That's a funding our schools problem.
Right.
You know, and so when we look at this, don't say that we have a teacher shortage because we can't afford to pay licensed teachers what they're worth. Say that we have a funding our schools problem, of which we have politicians with no courage to actually step up and do their jobs and do what's right by kids and make sure that every school, quote, that has a shortage has at least the cash available to pay for a licensed teacher who's willing to move and teach in that high needs district.
Agreed.
Okay.
Totally. Yep.
So this is why your story illustrates for me a broader issue when we talk about this. And so I've suggested, so see what you think about this. I know this is mostly your interview, but it seems like I'm taking up most of the talking on this one, and I'm sorry about that. But
that's fine.
You know, we look here, and so again, we're not going to hide. We're talking to Teacher Pam, who's in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin just recently decided that we're going to spend $3 billion to bring in a massive company called Foxconn. And now it looks like we're thinking of spending even more billions to bring in a glass manufacturer from Corning. And I've proposed, well, then why don't they put a teacher relocation fund together if they're going to relocate here to Wisconsin?
That would make some sense.
I mean, how do you see that working?
Well, I would see that there would be funding, and then the schools could afford to hire real teachers with real experience to do the job they're paid to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that. But, you know, and so more specifically, though, think about what you just said, pay the teachers the job they're to do. Your own situation, though, I found this troubling in that if some of you are, quote, called back because you're not fired. The person in charge of hiring you back, at least according to one statement I saw, said that they would only be looking to hire back people with 0 to 5 years of experience.
Yes, that was said at a meeting I attended, that we're going to let these teachers go, but when it's time to rehire, we'll rehire teachers with 0 to 5 years. Yep.
Okay, so
that made me feel crappy.
Okay. I we would use the other word here if we weren't doing radio, but
that's exactly true.
So if we do hire any of you back, those of you with over 5 years experience, well, we might as well tell you now, it's not going to be you.
Right. Need not apply, pretty much, right?
Need not apply. So, I don't know. Do you have a Home Depot or like a diner nearby you can start putting in application?
Well, we have Fleet Farm coming in.
Oh, there you go. So they...
There I go.
There's your...
Go ahead.
There's your new career.
$10 an hour.
Teacher Pam, this really is... It's upsetting from so many different angles, but... in fact, it's so upsetting. What I want to do is ask you to come back maybe next week or the week after. And if you feel comfortable, can we dig into some of the details surrounding your specifics?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, because I think the Busted Pencil listener understands the idea that we're talking about a teacher shortage. But, you know, I've read the details. I've spoken to you privately. And I think there's a really interesting story that we need to tell about Teacher Pam that is way above just a teacher shortage. But for today, Teacher Pam, 16 years experience, master's degree, awesome recommendations, data-driven decision. You're a great, awesome teacher. The other thing, though, you are truly busting pencils, and thank you.
Thank you, Tim, and waiting for that phone to ring.
Jessica Marks joined us last week to discuss her story of going from a fired teacher in Texas to Teacher of the Year in Arizona. You can podcast that episode now on BustedPencils.com. Here is her take on that very important Alfie Cohn question, what are the schools our children deserve?
Our children deserve a school full of teachers that are well-trained, well to handle everyone who comes in the door, and they deserve to have any materials that they need at their ready.
Now our weekly tribute to legendary historian and activist Howard Zinn. This is your moment of Zinn.
There is power that can be created out of pent-up indignation, courage, and the inspiration of common cause. And that if enough people put their minds and bodies into that cause, they can win.
My thanks to Teacher Pam, Jessica Marks, Joanna Rizzotto, Ted Craig. See you all in 1 week at the Miramar in Milwaukee for Educators Amplified. Can't make it to the Brew City? Listen live right here on 1510 AM Resistance Radio. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker. Thanks for busting pencils.
Log on to BustedPencils.com for the latest trending news, blogs, past shows, and more. Subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and Google Play. And get daily updates by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils. This is Fully Leaded Education Talk. Busted Pencils Radio.